We are here today celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, the story of Christianity. But we're here to put it in context, because for all the things that we say about the Christian faith, hope, forgiveness, grace, redemption, resurrection, heaven, eternity, there's one central theme of all of life that serves as the context or the backdrop for these great truths that we believe. And it can be described in one word: pain. All of life is really about pain. You're either coming out of pain or going into pain. When you got up this morning, you felt the pain, or you got up this morning and looked over at a pain. Right? I mean, and so oftentimes I think that we talk about our faith in such glowing terms that those who are not Christian or maybe considering our faith see one glaring weakness, and that is that we never talk about the reality that everyone faces every day, including us, and that is pain. Even Jesus didn't want to go to the cross and go through that pain. I'm glad that we have the humanness of Jesus in the Bible. I'm glad we have, for example, the prayer in Gethsemane. You remember that prayer he prayed right before he goes to the cross, right before he's arrested? He takes his three top disciples, right? Three out of 12. I mean, these are the green beret of his arm, of his warriors. They go with him, he goes to pray, he asks them to watch and pray, and what do? Fall asleep. Sound like Baptists, doesn't it? They just fall asleep. He goes in and he prays, and he doesn't pray, "Oh, I'm really excited about the cross. Man, I'm going to be resurrected. It's going to be great. I'm going to go to hell for 3 days. I'm going to clean it out. Man, we're going to just going to wreak havoc with the devil. Let's go, Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. J." No, he didn't. This is what he prayed: "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here. Watch for a while." He went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." I think probably the most courageous prayer you will ever pray is, "Not my will, your will be done." I mean, we all are experts on what God ought to do next for us, right? And it never involves pain. I promise you that. It is, "Oh, Lord, bless me." How many times have you ever prayed for something and God gave you what you wanted and you were asking God not long after that, "God, what were you thinking?" Right? Like that great theologian Garth Brooks said, "Thank God for unanswered prayer." Sometimes, you know, we need to pray, "Thy will be done," because the thing we think we have to have is the very thing that can cause us so much pain. Here's the truth, the true truth. The true truth. Life is exceedingly painful. Now, I don't mind life being painful for those who deserve it. I just don't want it to be painful for me. I mean, let's be honest. Come on, we're all friends here. You smoke 5 packs a day and you die of cancer, we're going to come to your funeral. We probably are not going to cry. Right? Come on. I know that. Well, maybe we will. Maybe if it's your wife or your kids, you know, they're going to get an inheritance or something, maybe they just will come and cry. Right? I mean, in some countries, did you know, they hire people to come and cry at people's funerals. Maybe we'll hire a couple of rednecks to come and. But many, you know, I mean, if you do something, if you, you know, like smoke and you die of cancer, it's bad, but really we kind of, yeah, you knew better. You live 50, 60 pounds overweight, live a sedentary life and ignore all the warnings, and you die of a heart attack. Yeah, we're going to cry, but not as much as we will for those who, you know, I love these people who are like healthy. You know what I'm talking about? These vegans. I've asked 16 people what that means, and I got 16 different answers. I know they eat rice cakes. I do know that. And one day these vegan running cycler biker people are going to be in a hospital dying of nothing. Right? And we're all going to be in there dying of some really exotic disease. What'd your husband die for? I don't know, but it's that long. I couldn't even pronounce it. That's awful. What's he dying from? Health. Job said it this way, mortals born of woman are a few days full of trouble. They spring up like flowers and wither away. Wither, wither, wither. You know, wouldn't you hate, I mean, hate to be a woman actress who becomes a star at 23 and then has to hide the rest of her life to hide the fact that she doesn't look like that anymore. I mean, when you're 73, you can dye your hair, but Bubba, you look worn. Amen? Or should I say experienced? Really? I mean, we flower, we're young, and we're fired up, man. We're full of stuff, and then we leak. Right? I mean, this is life. Life is painful. It really is. But here's the second part of that is I think that we don't often really become, I mean, full disclosure, right? I mean, true truth. If you're considering being a Christian, somebody needs to tell you this. Life is painful. Life with God is also painful. But somehow, was I not listening? But I thought I heard someone said, love Jesus and you get a pass. I thought I heard somebody say that. Man, if you really love God, you won't die. God will come back and take you up. You'll be raptured. Really? Jesus is going to come back and I won't have to die? Probably not. Do I believe Jesus is coming back? Yeah. But you know what? I'm not sure he's coming back in the next, 20 years. You say, I don't know. You don't know either. Remember how the Bible says it? No one knows. Except the Father. Truth of the matter is, life is painful with God. The difference is with God, the pain has a purpose. The pain isn't wasted. I wrote a guest blog for Leadership Network about 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago. And yesterday, I got this response from a guy who read it. And the blog was entitled, The Church's Dirty Little Secret. Statistics prove, this is true in your profession as it's true in all professions, but this is mine, so this is what I was writing about, that over 2,000 pastors leave the ministry every month in America because either get fired or they're so discouraged or beat up or whatever. Now, that's true whether you're a lawyer, a dentist, or a candlestick maker. Amen? It's not particular to any one profession. But I wrote about it, and the church's dirtiest secret is that basically a lot of churches beat their pastors up and treat them like dirt and turn them out and all the rest of that. So he read the article, and also, by the way, the article wasn't just a rant about that. It was what we can do about it, how we can solve it. So anyway, so this is his response. He says, great post. I wish someone had said this years ago because it happened to my dad and totally destroyed his life from the point of view that he's tried to commit suicide twice. He was an amazing leader, an amazing mind with an amazing spirit. But now he's just a shell of the man he once was. I miss my daddy. And then he put a P.S. at the end of the note. And he said, this also has kept me from going into the ministry, something I felt I was called to do, but now I'm just too afraid that it will chew me up and spit me out like it did my dad. Well, the truth of the matter is, he's wrong. The pain of ministry didn't chew his father up and spit him out. How he responded to the pain of ministry. Because ladies and gentlemen, if you don't want to have any pain, stay home and then we'll just come to your house and beat the crap out of you, right? I mean, this is life. You cannot hide from it. You cannot live small enough that it won't find you. It is true for all of us. And this is what we're going to do in this series, is we're going to talk about betrayal and being fired and being out of a job. How, when you're going through that kind of hellish place in your life, what do? You don't stop. You don't stop and straighten the pictures in a burning building. Amen? And you don't stop when you're going through this pain. You keep moving. You see, everyone gets burned, just not everyone. I mean, everyone goes through the fire, just not everyone gets burned. Here's the deal. Pain will be your constant companion. You get to choose, you and you alone choose, whether or not it's your jailer or your teacher. Amen? So somebody needs to tell you that if you love Jesus Christ and follow him, you will follow him on a journey through pain. So here's the equation: pain plus purpose. Now, if you just take that out, let's just say you are a non-believer. Just say I don't believe in Jesus, and I'm just going to take my. A lot of Christians have heard. Listen, if you don't believe in Jesus, and your excuse is people like me have been a bad example, here's my response to you: grow up. What do you expect from me? I am one messed up dude. Amen? I'm gaining on my demons, but the moment I become perfect, I'm quitting this job. Which means I'm going to be here a long time, right? Now, I don't know, I hear people, I just can't be a Christian because Christians are messed up. Well, duh. I mean, we're the only group of people in the whole world who confess that we're not worthy to be a part of the group before we get in it. I wouldn't join a club that have me, would you? I mean, really. They want to be miserable for some people when we get to heaven and some of the people who will be there. It'll freak some people out. What if Bill Clinton's there? I know some people who just say, I'm leaving if he's here. I'm not staying. You know, the people that we don't like and the people we demonize, right? Really? Really? So, if you reject Christianity, don't reject it because we've been bad examples. Reject it intellectually because you just don't believe it represents truth or reality. And if you do, you will live in the world with pain without purpose. It will be capricious. It will be harsh. It will be unyielding. And it would be non-redemptive. Because pain without purpose leads to cynicism. It leads to depression. And it leads to nihilism. Nihilism is a religion. A lot of people take their lives. They believe that's the only ultimately dignified choice is to choose when I die. Hemingway was that way. Hemingway, at the end of his life, true to his religion, put a shotgun in his mouth and blew the back of his head off. He believed that was an act of triumph. We see it as an act of despair. Pain plus purpose plus process equal a flourishing, fruitful faith. This is love for God. This is 1 John 5. This is love for God, to keep his commandments. In other words, if you love God, you'll do what he says, right? And if you don't do what he says, you don't love him. I don't care how many times you go to church, or you can be baptized enough times to be kin to a catfish. But if you don't do what he says, you don't love him. Well, how dare you accuse me of that? I didn't, God did. You do what you love, right? Come on. So he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Then he says, my commandments are not burdensome for everyone born of God. Overcomes the world. What overcomes the despair? The pain. The seeming contradiction to the Christian faith. Here's what I've learned. In prosperity, you meet your fans. In poverty, you meet your friends. But in pain, you meet yourself. And for some of us, we don't like what we have met. And into that moment, God steps and says, I have a way for you to process the pain that gets you to a place so that you are in and outside more like what I had in mind when I created you. I mean, think about it. You were created by God. The Bible says we are created in the image of God. There was a point in time that God made a decision to say yes to your thumbprint, to your DNA, to your life, and to everything that had to happen to get your mom and your dad to become amorously involved in the creation of you. And for their mom and their dad and their mom and their dad and their mom and their dad and their mom and their dad. You get the point, right? There's a lot of going on to get us here. And God says, you know, I will join you in the process, continuing the journey, so that redemption isn't just a ticket to heaven, but redemption includes the process of growing a strong, vibrant, flourishing, fruitful faith over time. Here's one of the coolest verses in the scripture. It's going to blow your mind. Here it is. This is Hebrews 5. Even though Jesus was God's son, wouldn't you have loved to have been Jesus' half-brother James? Bible says Jesus never sinned. I mean, he was perfect. How many of you said, oh, God, just give me a perfect kid? Really? Are you sure? I mean, if you had a perfect kid, you'd have to move out, right? Can you just see Mary saying to James, James, why can't you be more like your brother Jesus? And James saying to his mother, Mary, well, mother, now that you brought it up, why can't you be more like Jesus? Gee whiz, I'm not sure that'd been a happy household, right? Jesus made an A. Wouldn't you have loved to have the furniture Jesus made? Why could you make furniture like this? Because I'm not the Son of God, that's why. Gee whiz. It says he learned obedience from the things he... Really? Oh, that's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear that Jesus had it all together and he was perfect. And when I get the Jesus pill and its time release capsule gets into my soul, I become an awesome person without effort. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, right? Quick and easy, fast and simple. Give me a pill. Give me a shot. Give me 5 steps and 3 of them don't work. Come on, just something that gets me to perfection, that gets me to who I am and what I want to be. Well, God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. In a painful world, I'm going to join you in that pain. And I'm going to, through a process of time and engagement, through time and pressure, I have a purpose that I'm guiding your life toward. And it's going to involve at least these 3 things. You see, when you are going through a painful time, ask yourself these 3 questions. First, am I being tempted? Is this a temptation I'm going through? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. And this was after Jesus goes public in his ministry. He was baptized. You know, the angel says that the dove came down from heaven, the voice of God, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, the son who I love and whom I am well pleased. And so he goes off into temptation. After fasting 40 days and nights, he was hungry. Okay, for all the cool things that the Bible says and the way it says it, I'm sorry, I think that God could have done, Lord forgive me, a little bit better than that. 40 days and 40 nights, you're not eating and drinking anything, you're hungry. I mean, how many of you right now will look at someone, as soon as you're done, you look at someone and say, let's go eat, I'm starving. We can look at you and tell you could last on your baby fat for a little 14 weeks. Amen? Some of us longer. My favorite word is, I'm famished. I'm famished. When you come home and you say to your wife, I'm famished, you better hide the cans of soup or, I mean, anything is going to be vacuumed up, right? I'm famished. Well, I mean, after 40 days and 40 nights, you've got to be hungry. I mean, you could eat anything, right? You could eat just mother-in-law's cooking and it would be good. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell all these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every blank that comes out of the mouth of God, every what? Word, every logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John 1. The logos, the intelligence. We live in an intelligent, created universe. And our first anytime we're tempted in our pain, it's to change our thinking. You see, if you live with muddled up thinking, you'll live with a messed up life. Every dumb thing you've ever done is when you weren't thinking. Come on. How many times have we not stepped on the scale saying, if I don't step on the scale, I weigh what I weighed a year ago when I weighed. Right? I will throw that IRS notice away and claim ignorance. How's that working for you? I know people who've done that. Right? Thinking. Stinking thinking. How many of you have ever, tell me you have ever awakened with a case of the stupids, and it can last 7, 8, 9, 10 days. What's worse is living with someone with it. So it's just a temptation to my mind, to my thinking, because God created me in His image. The first thing I am, I'm a thinking being. I'm a thinking, processing being. People say, you think too much. No, you think too little. Right? The second question is, not is this a temptation, but is this a test? The devil took him to a holy city, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He will command His angels. So if Jesus says, Jesus came and said, it's written, and Satan goes, okay, if we're going to go the intellectual route, I'll play that game. It is written, throw yourself down. He will command His angels concerning you, and they will lift up your hands so that you'll not strike your foot against a stone. By the way, he's quoting Scripture back to Jesus. By the way, not everyone who quotes Scripture is your friend. Have you ever had the Scripture used as a battle axe to beat you into submission to someone else's opinion? It hurts. Jesus answered, for it is written. He says, okay, we're going to parlay here on the intellectual side. It is written. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. This is not a test of the intellect. This is a test of the will. Will. Will is a will that is hurt is defiant. A will that feels betrayed is angry. Right? I do a podcast called Renegade's Guide to God every Thursday, and I posted it after I got through with it on iTunes, and then I posted it on Twitter, and on Twitter I put on, it says, you can't smoke, chew, and watch American Idol and be a Christian. And then I put a little link to the podcast. Podcast is basically, you can't do that and be a Christian, right? How many things do we tell people they can't do? The things that we don't like, right? Those are the things we don't want other people to do. It's really the point of the podcast is that Christianity is not about morality. Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus Christ that then results in a certain kind of fruit. I got about 50 responses. Where does the Bible say you can't watch American Idol? And I'm thinking, if you would just click on the link, will you please click the link? Leave me alone. I don't care if you watch me. I don't care. Right? Will, just the will to do the right thing, right? I don't want to. My will, my something inside of me is broken. Is this a temptation? Is this a test? Or is this a trial? Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Can you just imagine just see Jesus standing there saying, you are so annoying. What? Really? Seriously? Do you think I'm just, because I haven't eaten anything, I'm delusional? I am the Son of God. I own you. How many times has something we owned took possession of us? Maybe you ever look at your dog and say, I own you, dog. And they look at you like, really? Where's my food? Feed me, right? You want to be in pain? Overestimate how much of the world you own and control. That'll cause you pain right there. And so what did Jesus say? Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. When did they come and attend him? After, right? After the temptation. Is this a temptation to my mind, my thinking? Is this a test to my will? Or is this a trial involved my emotions? This is how we live in America. We live on our emotions, right? Even in Christian circles, we live on our emotions. We go to church and we go, woo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Just jump and shout, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, the Lord has come in. Praise the Lord. We act so weird at church and we pray to God nobody ever sees us during the week, right? At church, we bring our emotions and we leave our brain home. Amen. Here's what I want to tell you. I'm giving you, God told me to tell you, you have permission to bring your brain to church. Amen? Amen? Bring that brain with you. So in the process of forging, of growing on this journey, of dealing with the pain, and we're going to define some of those and make them more particular as we go through this. Simply, everyone goes through the fire. Everyone goes through this fire. Temptation, tests, trials. You see, but not everyone gets burned. Here's the truth. And I'm telling you on the basis of truth and experience. I've been walking with God 39 years. I'm more fired up, more excited, more confident than ever before about the truth I'm teaching you this morning. There are no hopeless situations. Only people who've grown hopeless in the midst of them. There are no hopeless marriages. Only people who have grown hopeless in the midst of them. Amen? Because they thought getting married meant I marry Mr. Wonderful and he immediately becomes Mr. Devil. Or I marry someone who I could eat up, and after I married her, I wish I had. We have this mythology in America that if we just marry the right person, the rest of our marriage will be a gravy train with biscuit wheels. Not so. You try living in a loving, close, intimate marriage every day for the rest of your life and not have some friction, one of you is dead. Can I hear an amen? Well, my husband and I would just never fight. Well, you getting ready to go to World War 16 if you ever do. There's going to be so much pent-up anger in you, you're probably going to kill each other. Take separate vacations. So what's the plan? We're going to learn this over and over again on this journey. Here's how you go down the road, go through that hell, that place, that tough thing, and I get burned. One, you show up. You show up and you move forward. So I'm going to ask you this question. Are you moving forward? Now, you're here today. You're out of your apartment. Isn't it strange we in the land we live in apartments alone together? Right? But you're out of your apartment, out of your house. You're in the game. You're here this morning to worship. Maybe you're here today just because it's Easter. And if you are, yay God. I don't care when you come or why you come. We could pay you to come. I'd be happy. I don't care. I don't care what reason you're here. I'm just here to tell you that you're out moving. And I say, yay God. Just keep moving. You keep moving where? Forward. Sometimes you sprint. Sometimes you walk. Oh my God. Sometimes you crawl. Right? You just keep moving forward. Just show up and move forward. Right? You see, when you are going through hell, you can either stop and smell the smoke or rearrange the pictures on the wall, or you can head to the exit. I say, let's get to the exit. How about you? Let's get on to this and let's get on through this. You show up and you move forward. The second thing is you, in the process of doing this and understanding, am I going through the temptation of my mind or a test of my will or a trial dealing with my emotion? Submit that. Submit whatever it is you're going through to God's love and providence. Submit to the process and let that morph you and change you. Because this is God's intention. God, what are you doing in the pain? Listen, God, C.S. Lewis said this, God whispers in our pleasure and shouts in our pain. Well, what's he shouting? Here it is. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who, what? Now, if you don't love him, you are on your own. All bets are off. You mean to tell me I don't get in on this? No. No, you don't. Well, that's harsh. Yeah, it is. There you go. What should I say? Love him. Amen? What does it cost you to love him? Your pride? Your anger, your bitterness, really? This is all you got to get? This is your only argument? You can't love God because I just can't love a God who would let me believe. Really? Your God's that small? Listen, you know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That's the kind of love we're looking for right here. Crazy love. Right? People say, you Christians are crazy. Yeah, some of us are not crazy enough. Lord, I just submit. I submit to the process. He says, those who've been called according to his purpose, for those God foreknew, he also, I love this word, predestined. I love saying that word out loud because it makes some people miserable. Predestined. God didn't predestine me. Yeah, you're an accident. You're an aberration. Sorry. Get out of the way for the rest of us. Amen? What did he predestinate us to do? To be conformed. To soon morpho. To soon, that's the word, soon morpho. A preposition plus the word to morph. To change. Listen, as a Christian, do I want to be what I was when I met Christ? No. And I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God Almighty, I'm not what I was 4 or 5 years ago. I'm gaining on my demons a little bit every day because I'm showing up. I suit up, show up, and do the next right thing. And God will never ask you to do more than that. But he's got a purpose. And he just says, you know what? As insane as this situation seems to you, as crazy as cancer may seem to you, as out of my will as your husband's behavior may seem to you, submit, submit, submit. Let me in those things begin to bring about the transformation so that you will be formed to the icon. That's the word, the image, E-I-K-O-N, the icon of Christ. So there's a perfect template toward which God is moving us to the image of his son. What makes Jesus so winsome? He was humble. He was loving. He was compassionate. He was with it and with us. Yay, God. So, show up. Keep moving. I studied a little bit about fire walking. You know what I found about fire? You know, these people who go walk, they can help you walk through fire. You don't walk through fire. You walk over live coals. Right? That's number one. And number two, it's only 10 feet. Sometimes the fire we walk through is a little bit longer than 10 feet. Would be to God it were just 10 feet, right? Secondly, did you know that when the heat and the burning coal goes to the bottom, the charcoal on the top is a terrible conductor of heat. Did you also number four, when the ash forms across the top of those burning coals, you see, have you ever seen those burning coals and got the ash across the top of it? Just say yes. Okay. And here's, you didn't know this? I didn't know this the other day. Ash is such a good insulator, thank you, that years ago when they made ice boxes, you remember when they would pack the lining with ash because it was such a great insulator. But the key to firewalking is none of those revelations, but to do what? Just keep moving. Just keep moving. You go, whoa, 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 yeah, ho, ho. Or you can go, oh, well, whatever. You just got to keep moving, right? You keep moving. You keep moving. You keep moving. You get up every day and you say, God, I submit to your love. I submit to the process. I submit to whatever you want to change in my life. And then, we're going to study this too. What do? You study and mature. You engage your brain and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? Listen to what the Bible says about the power of perspective or wisdom. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it cost you all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will what? Honor you. Here's the truth. If you stop, sit, sour, and soak in your pain, your most vivid pain will become your life. I cannot tell you how many people over the years I have heard this from. I got a divorce and it was bad, and he was supposed to be a Christian, and he slept with my sister. And I'm thinking, where is he? We just go beat the poop out of him. And then when I ask a little further, that was 11 years ago. That's what you call absolutizing the modal sphere. How many people do you know are living lives today defined by the pain that happened to them 5, 10, 15, 25, 30 years ago? This is not God's will, ladies and gentlemen. Amen? We need to be better than this. But we also need to engage God's purpose and allow the process to morph us and change us, and ask God to give us wisdom. Because you know what? Anytime, I'll close with this, two things. One, the day you wake up convinced of this is the day you're free. I know that God will always do the most loving and generous thing in my life. Amen? When you believe that, in the midst of the fire, you're free. A lot of us need to be free. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name this morning to reach out into the hearts, minds, soul, spirit, brokenness, and pain of these amazing God created in the image of men and women. People who you love and care for, people who you've predestined for better things than just wallowing in the anger and the bitterness of the past. Father, you love these men and women. You died for them. You came back from the dead. You give them the power of life itself. And Father, you've promised us that you will engage us and be with us and take our pain and turn our problems into our glory, that you can take the night and turn on the light, a light that no one can turn out. I pray in Jesus' name for faith. I pray in Jesus' name for healing. I pray in Jesus' name that the bonds of the past and the pain and the anger and the bitterness would be broken today. That men and women will walk out of here free in Christ, free from pain, free from sorrow, free from regret, absolutely, totally excited and fired up about the next day and the next day and the next day. In Jesus' name, amen. Go get them.